To the couple places in the scriptures, let's listen to this morning for a ministry of music. Chris Shippey and Cody Vandenberg, Janice on the piano. Oh, a wondrous night.
Night, 'neath a star so bright, all the world was glowing with glorious light. Mary gave birth to the Holy Child, born in a manger so meek and mild, and the earth was filled with heavenly peace, wondrous heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Night, 'neath a star so bright, all the earth was glowing with glorious light. Mary gave birth to the Holy Child, born in a manger so meek and mild, and the earth was filled with heavenly peace, wondrous heavenly peace, in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in peace.
Now we come to that time when we sit and listen to reading of God's word and the preaching in this sermon this morning. I tell you, profoundly simple for me to put this sermon together, because it's right there in the text. All I did is unfolded it a bit, and as you will see. But anyway, I'm going to read these couple passages from Matthew 2. And rather than read the whole story, if you don't know the story of in Matthew's gospel, he tells the story of the wise men coming from the east. And I only want to pick out one thing from these wise men, only one thing that they did. And then when we get to, we're going to read the little part of the shepherds coming to, and I want to pick out one thing that the shepherds did. And in the light of that, just go ahead and put the next one up, Mark. We'll understand what is your mission. Here's where we've gone so far in this Advent. Number one, 2 weeks ago, what's your name? We know Jesus' name was Savior because he's going to save his people from their sins. And I said to you, your name doesn't have that much significance. You are important, but name Gilbert. Josh, Tammy, I mean, nice names, but our name is really, remember that sermon, our name is, I am not my own, I belong to Jesus. My name is, I'm here to glorify Jesus. And then last week, second Sunday night, what's your place? So we got a little each of these sermons this for the Advent this year. What's your place? And we saw that Jesus' place was specific. He will be born in Bethlehem. And if you know the story, Bethlehem, his place was Bethlehem, so that he could go to Calvary, specific place. Your place isn't all that important in the sense of, for me, born in Bozeman, Montana. So what? It's cold there. It's not that important. But what is important is your place in the body of Christ. Do you know your place in the body of Christ, in the church? So we've broadened all of these, name, place. Now today, what is your mission? Let me read this first from Luke 2. I'm going to start jumping. These wise men come to Jerusalem. They come from the east. Persia out that way. They come off. They follow a star. I'm not getting into that whole story. But they come and they ask in Jerusalem, where is he who was born? And the Herod hears about it, the king. And he asked them, where is the king going to be? And they said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the king says, oh, you guys, you wise men from the east, go to Bethlehem. And if you find a king, make sure you come back and tell me, I want to go worship him too. So the wise men go, off they go, and they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them. I'm in verse 9. Until it stopped over the place where the child was. So now they're in Bethlehem, in the place where... Anyway, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That's all we're going to pick up from the wise men. Now I'm jumping over to Luke's account, and I just want to pick up a few things. Something from the, that we're going to tie in our mission from the wise men. Something from the wise men, something from the shepherds. Now I go to the shepherds, and it's in Luke 2, and we'll read the whole thing about the shepherds, here we go. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them, and here we go to what I want to pick up from the shepherds. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, Bethany's children's sermon. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The reading of God's word. Now, what's your mission? What's your mission is the title of this, and we'll just move right on there, Mark. For Jesus, what is the mission of Christmas? Most of us know that. What is the mission of Christmas? He came to save his people from their sins. Goes back to his name again. Why is it important that God sent his son? This is just fundamental doctrine. Why is it important that God sent his son? Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5 and 6 say, only God is able to bear the weight of your guilt and my guilt against sin. Nobody else could. No priest, no pope, no minister, no nothing. Only God. And that's why God sent his son into human flesh to give his life for human beings. That's his mission. And then we get to the last question, which really is, in some ways, is all builds up to what is your, what is our mission? And as I said last week, what you got to do under the fill in the blank there, listen. Listen, and I'm going to explain it to you, all right? So here we go. That's why I said this is really quite simple. Next PowerPoint will tell you how simple it is. One thing we learn from the wise men is that their first response to meeting Jesus was what? It was worship, right? The very first thing, when they saw him, before they gave their gifts, when they saw him, they bowed down and worshiped. Got it? What's the first thing that we learn from the shepherds? Now, that doesn't, the shepherds didn't bow down and worship. At least they may have, but Luke doesn't record that. By the way, I'll just throw this in. I think Matthew tells the story to wise men because he is writing to Jews to convince them that Jesus, the one who came, is the Jesus, the Savior for the Jews and for the Gentiles. And the gospel is, when Matthew writes his gospel, the gospel is spreading through all the Greco-Roman world. Churches are being planted and people are embracing Jews and Gentiles and Greeks and Romans and Egyptians and you name it. We're coming, many people are coming to faith, and Matthew writes his gospel to tell the Jews, come on, get with it. So he tells the story of the wise men. Coming from the east, non-Jews, they worshipped. Luke doesn't do that. Luke is not writing to Jews to try to convince them. Luke is writing to Gentiles. His whole letter is written to Gentiles. And so he's not trying to convince the Jews so much, those two, but by and large to Gentiles. So he tells the story of the shepherds, and particularly, I think, this little detail, what the shepherds did when they left the manger and headed back home, is it fits in really well with Luke. And he's going to tell us that a number of times through the gospel, all the way to the end, when Jesus is ascended, people do exactly the same thing the shepherds did. And is this, what's one thing we learn from the shepherds? Is that having met Jesus, they told others. So simple, they told others. End of the gospel, the resurrection, you go and tell others, Jesus says in Luke's gospel. You go tell others. That makes sense. All right? So there you have the one thing from the wise men and shepherds. So now we put this into understanding with the next PowerPoint. We understand that our mission begins and is shaped in and by holy worship. What we're doing right here, right now, it begins in worship. That's why if you know God, you bring yourself into a place where people worship. Nursing babies, I don't know if we have any of those right now, to 80-some-year-old people. Doesn't matter. We worship as a community. And we understand our mission ends in telling other people. So worship and telling others. Duh, that's the mission. We see it right in the text of Scripture from the story of Christmas. And between these two, and you don't have to look them up, and I don't have any PowerPoints on them, but Matthew 5, 13, and 16, some of you will recognize, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Be the salt, be the light. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Live such good lives among the unbelievers that though they accuse you of doing wrong, maybe even persecute you, they can see your good works. They can see that your life is shaped by your mission of who God is. And they'll come to glorify God too. Tremendous verses from the Bible. Now, worship and telling others. Our mission. But now let me just highlight that a little bit. Because it's not all about just, when I say telling others, many of you are thinking probably, well, pastor's going off on evangelism. And that's certainly true. In part, but it's not the whole thing. Evangelism isn't everything we do. It's an important part, but it's not everything. Look at this. This PowerPoint is, I think, really, really important for our church. So I'll give it to you, and then when I say it, then the answer will be in a few moments up on the screen. But here it is. One of the most important missions as parents and as Trinity CRC, the name of our church, is the continuing process. Notice process. It's continuing. Of rooting the next generation in the great truths of the faith. And the key word for this whole dynamic being remember, remember. So put it up there, there it is. Rooting, that's our mission, folks. Part of our mission is to tell the next generation, the ones that were sitting here, high school kids and on, the next generation, tell them the great truths of the faith, and the key word for that whole dynamic is remember, 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 like I said last week, if you were here last week, I did that little extended thing about the mathematics and had mathematics up on the screen. But if you know mathematics at all, what is the key about, we have teachers to teach mathematics, what for? So that you remember that 20 divided by 4 is 5. 9 times 7 is, you know, so you remember the math and the whole tables and all that stuff. You remember, folks, listen. The same thing is true with the Christian faith. If we're going to root the next generation, we need to tell them. That's part of our mission. Remember who God is. Remember the story of God rescuing us from Pharaoh. Because who was rescued from Egypt? Somebody said, well, the people of Israel. Well, yeah, but that was the Old Testament church. We were rescued from Egypt. We were sold into captivity when our sins and we refused to listen to the Lord in Babylon. God brought us back. That's our story. So tell people the story. Tell people the story and to remember. In fact, I have a PowerPoint in terms of, put the next one up, Mark, and here, one of the things about telling the next generation. Here's a great text from Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's King James. Here's the NIV. Puts it, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Now, so we instruct the next generation. I'll say a few more things about it. It's part of our mission. Notice my thing on the bottom. This verse is found in Proverbs, which means it's the wisdom literature of the Bible. It's not Leviticus. And it's not a letter from Paul. It's Proverbs. Therefore, this verse is not about law. Train up a child. Come on, folks, train up a child. This is the law. It's not that. Nor is it promise. You know what? If you train up a child in the way he should go, the promise, God promised that when he is old, he or she will not depart. It's not that either. What is it? It's wisdom. What is wisdom literature? Wisdom literature in its profound sense, and it's more than this, but wisdom literature in its root meaning is, in this verse, a child is influenced by his peers. A child is influenced by the way he or she is brought up. That's what it says. That's what wisdom says. And my point then, part of our mission is to train our children in the way they should go, let's expose our children, our growing children. Remember, we have 18 years when they come out of the factory, 18 years when they leave their house, to raise them to be independent of us and dependent on Jesus. That's the overall arc. Now, one of the things I think that greatly helps, because a child is influenced by what he hears, learns, sees. For that reason, I think it's really important to, in your very home, invite other people into your home for a meal, people from the church who are godly people, so that your children can hear some of the stories of the older people from our church who have been walking with Jesus for 50, 60, 70 years or more. And you prepare a meal, and you don't make a big thing about it, but your children listen when they tell a story about this, that, and the next thing. Expose your children to that. In fact, I got a Christmas present. I'm not going to buy it for you, but if you don't know what to buy your kids for Christmas, if you don't have copies of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia in your home, man, I know there's films, but I mean copies of the books. Get them. Get those. Ooh, I don't even know. 6 volumes, are there? 6? Little stories for children. They are so good. Read it with them. Read it with them. Read it as a family. So good. So good. You'll start a memory and then bring them to worship. This is all off the cuff here now. But I tell you why you need to belong to a local church with your children and bring them to worship. Not just because the minister preaches and we sing songs and all that. That's good. It's good. It's great, in fact. But you expose your children, when they belong to a local church like this, you expose your children to all the things that are happening in the church. And so the children will learn today that we got somebody who's 60 years old. If you look on the bulletin, way to go there, Ed and Nastia, this week, 1 year, right? So the people from the church, here's a couple that 1 year married on the 16th. And other, you know, James and Brianna will soon have 1 year on January 1st. James and Violet will make, well, they're running well, 6 or 7 months. I don't know when they got married, some in the summer. You know, you get to know those folks. But not just the joyful things, you get to know that Marilyn might be losing her eyesight. Your kids say, Mom, what about that? Dad, what about that lady? When you belong to a local church, I don't see her here this morning, and I didn't ask permission. I usually ask permission if I use people's names, but I don't see Mary this morning, Mary Hubrexi. But there's somebody from our church who's probably her husband with in hospice will die in the next 2 months. He's down to skin and bones, not much more. And your children will live into that. Live into that. It's so crucial for remembering who God is. Okay, enough said. Worship and worship start at home. Notice that one what Mark is up there. Starts at home. But then it moves out into the world too. You care about people from your work, from your place. And you bring them into the presence of God. And may they see the power of God at work in you. Notice what, here's a great example from Luke's gospel. Put the next one. Look here. I'm talking about the shepherds telling. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus to go with him. Jesus said, this guy was demonic, cut himself. Oh, he was wild. His name was Legion or Mob. On the shores of Lake, on the east side of Lake of Sea of Galilee. I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to be one of your disciples. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you, just like the shepherds. Tell how much God has done to you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. There it is. Now, one other point I want to make yet before I... We are much more effective as communicators of the gospel when we are able to say to other people, this is what God is doing in my life. This is what God is teaching me through being impatient and so forth. And I think I'm learning. This is what's happening in our country, state, school, family, whatever, work. It moves me to tears and to prayer. When you are that kind of person, not, well, look at me, I really pray for it. Not that. But when this genuinely comes from your heart, you'll have an influence. You'll be able to tell people what it is. And I'm going to suggest to you here, and I think I've suggested this before, but I'm just going to keep at it because of put the next one up, Mark. And that is probably the weakest link. And I know that it is my weakest link. At least I think it's my weakest link. In being an effective communicator, like the shepherds, of what God did for people in sending his son, the weakest link, and before the answer comes up, I know it's my weakest link. And here it is, go ahead, Mark, is being good listeners. We heard it in the, you really should take in that video that Larry's teaching in an adult Sunday school class. The guy made a huge point this morning about listening. Just listen to people. We don't listen well. That's just my own little conjecture there. We don't listen well, probably because listening is such hard work. It's much easier to, well, I got to tell you this story. And there's nothing wrong with that as such, but it's hard to listen without jumping into our story or our family or, well, this is what's happening in our, you know, well, this is what happened to me in 1984. Being good listeners. And I have a good reason for bringing this in, and we're going to bring it to a close here in a few minutes. The key to being a good listener, please catch this, folks, is to ask good questions and then letting other people talk. It doesn't always have to be about faith. You're going to get tired of not hearing. When I retire, you won't hear anything more about Gary Singer. This morning at the bread company, when I go there with my, I asked him a question. Gary, what do you think of the Cardinals trading for Dexter Fowler? Nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with anything. And he pontificated on what it would mean. Do you think they're going to make any other trade? My follow-up question. And I listened. I mean, it's just baseball. But you ask questions, then you follow up with another question and listen again. And then, if the other person opens a door, how do you see it, Gil? For some of you struggling with loved ones with deep, maybe life terminal things, you may come alongside a widow or a widower from our church and say, how did you handle it when you watched your wife waste away, your husband? And then you get a talk. And here's the reason I took this about good listening. Put the next one, but then Grant, there, next one there. Here's the reason of all my ammunition about listening. God is a great listener. And we are made in His image, and by Jesus Christ, we're remade in His image. That means God is a great listener. If you don't believe that, I just threw these phrases out when I was sitting at my desk typing this PowerPoint. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Watch over my life, Father. Lead me. Guide me. Protect me. Give me strength. Grant me wisdom. Help me to know what my loved one needs at this time in his or her life. Help me. And since God is a great listener, we as people who have His Spirit should be good listeners too. I mean, that's just logic. Simple logic. So here's the summary. In a few moments, I'll have you stand for prayer. We, like the wise men, when we meet Jesus, we respond to worship. And I encourage all of you to, if that's not a regular pattern in your life, that's not a law. But when you worship, I don't have to go through the whole sermon again. We worship like we're doing right now, singing the great hymns and worshiping and praying. Like the shepherds, having met our saving Lord, we spread the news about Christ to other people, starting at home, moving out to our neighborhood, our families, and wherever else, into our workplaces, into the Y, into the bread company, into African Violet Club or whatever you belong to. And in between these must be a whole life dedicated to obedience and love in all we do. And that's the whole thing, folks. That's the whole thing. So what is my, here's the last PowerPoint, and you notice, there's a clue on there why I put this text up. It's a really important clue. But it fit in so well. As some of you know, I turned 67 yesterday. Psalm 67. Actually, we memorized Psalm 67 here 2 years ago, the six verses or five verses. And I knew that verse was in there. It really is my psalm for this year. If you're a visitor or guest, we assign everybody, when it's your birthday, you read the psalm that on your birthday, how old you are. And I give you this assignment, and you can. I urge you to do it. So if you turn 22, read Psalm 22. If you turn 151, you're done. You know, because there's only 150 psalms. But Psalm 67 is mine. Worship leads to obedience, leads to witness. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us. Amazing statement that God will shine His face on His people so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. Psalm 67, 1 and 2. Get it? Try it again. Get it? Good. Would you stand for prayer?